The question was asked, why did Rabbeinu Gershom limit his institution? So I will quote from the Pitchei Tshuva, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Neven Ezer. He says like this, that this idea that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that the institution was until the end of the fifth millennium, is actually quoted in a Rishon called the Maharik, Mahari Kolon. And he quotes that from the Rashba. The Rashba was the rabbi in Spain after Nachmanides, a disciple of the Ramban. And he writes like this, Shamanu, we urge Shelo Gazar Rabbeinu Gershom Or HaGola, that Rabbeinu Gershom did not make his institution Ela only until the end of the fifth millennium. And the response of Mishkenot Yaakov writes that he thinks the reason is Af de kol gzerot chachamim noflot lolam. Even though ordinarily when the rabbis make an institution, it's an eternal institution. Ad sheyamod betin hagadol b'chochma v'minyan, unless a greater betin chooses to repeal it, as we know. But that's because the kol gzerot chachamim tzarin sheyeh ben siyag u'mishmeret l'isul Torah. A rabbinic institution ordinarily is in order to ensure that you keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. Otherwise, what are the rabbis doing? They're not supposed to be inventing anything. Their power is to institute things that are safeguarding the Torah. The only exception is that a court has permission, if they see at a specific time that their generation needs a certain prohibition, they're allowed to say that for our generation, for our needs, we're going to make this institution. But they cannot change the halacha for future generations when they're doing something that's a response to the needs of their generation. Meaning when it comes to an institution, so they institutionalize things long term. We don't wake up one day and say Shmoneh Esrei should be different. We don't wake up one day and say Kiddush should be different. The rabbis instituted, that's the way we do it. But sometimes the rabbis say our generation needs the following clause, so we're only doing it for our generation. And it would seem that the people who had this tradition, it went in line with that Rabbeinu Gershom had the following thought, that he wasn't coming to protect from any prohibition, but he did this as something that was necessary for his generation. And that's why he said, I only want it for this generation. I'm not coming to change the laws of the Torah. He saw a need in his time.
Doing the opposite is also legitimate.
What?
Creating something for the generations. It's legitimate to institute something forever, also.
If it's something to protect a mitzvah in the Torah.
It seems like the rabbis thought it was to protect.
No. So here there was some need. Now, he says, you have to realize that the Ran, the Mordechai, the Maram of Rutenberg, the Ravia, they all bring down this institution of Rabbeinu Gershom, and they don't mention that it has a time limit. So even though the Shulchan Aruch went with the opinion that quoted it as having a time limit, the Pitchei Tshuva says, not everyone agrees it had a time limit. That's not so obvious. It's not even mentioned in many sources. And even the Rashba only says, this is what we heard. It's not like he had clarity that Rabbeinu Gershom put a limit on it. And so, if Rabbeinu Gershom made this as a long-term institution, so then it has to be to protect the mitzvah of the Torah. Which mitzvah of the Torah is it coming to protect? So he says, if you think about it, you'll find a few good reasons why he did it. You can think about it. He doesn't tell you which reasons he thinks. And there's a fascinating responsa of the Maharam al-Shakar, which maybe I shouldn't quote here, because we know this to be erroneous today, but in his day and age, hold on to your seats, he writes the following. He says, oh yeah, we heard about that institution of Rabbeinu Gershom, but your respectable, honorable Torah sage, you know that most of the exile never accepted what Rabbeinu Gershom said. They didn't accept it when he said it. They don't accept it today. Go look throughout Spain. Go look throughout Sfarad. Go look to the east. And go look to the west. And certainly further east. You won't find people who accepted this. People in communities all over are marrying two wives. So the Maharam al-Shakar writes, he says, who accepted this institution? Small number of communities. So there are places that accepted it, and even they only accepted it for a short time. But you see, the institution stuck, and that's why they accepted it. So they have to keep it. That's the Maharam al-Shakar. So I guess in the Sephardi communities, it was very prevalent to marry more than one wife. That's what it sounds like. He says, go look at our communities. Who does it? So it could be that the tide was turned by the Shulchan Aruch. Now, if I had to guess, and this is a guess, I hope it's an educated guess, I would think that the importance of having one wife is so that the relationship flourishes the way it should, the home flourishes the way it should, that it's hard enough to have peace when there's one wife. To have two wives can be very, very, very difficult. But he doesn't say. He doesn't say. Okay, there are different reasons given, but for whatever reason, he left it silent. Okay.